I think the human element to this day is still the most important part of any business. Yes, you need to build a culture, a strong culture in your business. But I believe relationship building, particularly with your team, with your customers, and continuing to build and nurture your own relationships in your personal life. I think if you can maintain that throughout having your business and really put an effort into that, I think that is what will bring you on as a person, as a business person.
Maureen, welcome to the pod.
Thank you for having me.
I have to say, you've done a first. I'm doing this. This is probably episode, 450, 460. You're the first guest to close a business deal on the floor outside the studio.
Unintentionally, but great.
ABC, huh? Yeah, always be closing. Fair play. Always. I respected that hustle.
Thank you.
My commission check will be in the post as well. I'll send you my 20%. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
I'm delighted to have you.
Thank you.
We were introduced by a mutual friend and we had a call, and after about 2 minutes, I was like, this would be a great chat.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. And fair play. We have to give a mention to Brian Lee for making the introduction.
Yes.
And it was great.
The consummate networker.
Always, always. Legend.
Speaking networker of closing. Legend. Definitely an always closing guy.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you do?
So I have a business called Gourmet Food Parlor. It's a restaurant and catering business. We are one of the very few hospitality businesses in the country that open 7 days a week. We open for breakfast, lunch, brunch and dinner.
Wow.
We do sit-in, obviously, in the restaurants. We're also available for takeaway. And then we have a catering and event business, which is an extra umbrella to the restaurant business as well. And a compliment, I suppose, that the catering business evolved from the restaurant business. So we say it's restaurant quality catering that can be delivered to your door or to your business as well.
7 days a week.
7 days
in hospitality.
Yes. Yes. Madness.
My heart.
I know. My heart.
That is intense.
It is. It is.
That is to cater to the needs of the market, or what's the 7 days a week philosophy?
So when I started first, it was 6 days a week, and I closed on a Sunday. I'll never forget it, back in 2006. But it just evolved over time. And I think the business has evolved from customer demands, market trends. And I think also the business has evolved organically itself. It's become this entity that's bigger than anything that I could have ever imagined in terms of what it stands for. But I think it evolved initially very much because of the recession that came in 2008. And, you know, the business was moving in a certain trajectory, but then it stopped because, you know, everything stopped in Ireland at that time. But then I remember thinking, you know, I want to keep my business going. I don't want to close this down. I want to keep this going. So what I did was I kind of invested in myself. So I worked with a business consultant at the time, and she really helped me to have a look from the outside in and see, okay, Lorraine, what do you actually want? What do you want for yourself? What do you want for your business? How do you want to keep this going? Where do you see it going? So I moved what was a cafe business to more of a kind of a bistro, open at nighttime. You know, you're paying bills 7 days a week. You weren't open 7 days a week.
Yeah.
So I started to open at nighttime, started to extend the opening hours, invested in the decor a little bit more, invested obviously in the menus and the food dishes that we were serving, invested in training, upskilling the team, which is a constant. And just brought the brand to the next level, which was really, really exciting. And I could see a huge demand then for the brand. I saw demand for the brand from the day we opened, but the demand kept growing steadily over time. But I think it's important as a business owner that you know that you're very open. You're very open to your brand evolving and changing organically, and obviously with customer trends as well.
Mm, that's interesting. In 2008, you invested when most people went the other way.
I figured I had to be honest. I really felt like I had to because I think one of the attributes, you know, that I have is that I can see when things are changing. I can see very quickly when things are changing. Customer demands are moving in a different direction. And at that point, it was pretty obvious that people just didn't have the money that they had to spend. So you have to adapt. And, you know, when you're paying bills 7 days a week, you have to look at what your business model stands for. And I was a daytime operation, which I could see sales were kind of reducing steadily over time. But the feedback was still really positive. So I think, okay, well, how, what can we stand for? And I think when I set up Gourmet Food Pride, if I was to be really honest, I always wanted to get to a stage where it was going to be a nighttime business as well. Okay. I love that myself personally. I think that whole nighttime business, the buzz, the ambiance, the cocktails, the wines, the food, everything, there's something very special about that. And I was passionate about kind of developing that as a within the whole, you know, the whole concept of Gourmet Food Parlour at the time.
Why did you start it?
Why did I start Gourmet Food Parlour? So I went to America in 2001 and I had been working for IBM before that. So I wasn't even remotely in the food industry. I'm not a qualified chef, but I got into the food business over there. And as a result, I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the food business. I wasn't working in restaurants, but I was working for manufacturers, representing them as a broker to the retailer. That was an incredible, incredible experience and opportunity. And I just love the American style of the way of doing things. They're so positive and they're so over the top. You know, it's have a great day and, you know, I'm your server. And what do you feel like today? You know, and I just.
It is performative.
Oh, it's completely.
It's kind of fun.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, you're nearly on Broadway everywhere you go, you know. And it was fun. I just loved it. And when I came home, I went to work for Jacob Fruitfield Food Group, and that was a brilliant experience because I became their export sales and marketing manager. So you can imagine the experience that was as well. And Michael Carey had just bought Jacob Fruitfield from Danone. Incredible. So an Irish businessman had bought this amazing Irish brand back from Danone, and it was a phenomenal time. But I quickly realized that, you know, I'm a small fish in a big pond. Mm. And whereas I love that, I do love that, there was always something in me that I wanted to go and do my own thing. So I said, if I don't do it now, I'll never do it. So that's why I started it. Very long story short.
No, they always are, to be fair. That's actually a very short version. Most people are much longer. But why that then? Why kind of Gourmet Food Parlour? Like, why not go into something you were doing already, like distribution or build a brand or something like that?
Yeah. So I think specifically it was when I was a sales rep for an Irish food import company in America, and I was the sales rep for Manhattan, literally walking the streets of Manhattan selling Irish products to American businesses and small delis on the corner. I could write a song about it. I always say that. But I felt the delis, the coffee shops, the cafes, the restaurants, I used to walk in and out and I was fascinated. I was just fascinated by them, fascinated by the variety, the quality, the depth, everything. And I thought, my goodness, wouldn't it be wonderful for me to put my own twist on this and bring it back to Ireland? And Gourmet Food Parlour is 100% not a copy of what anybody else was doing, but definitely a nod to what lots of things that I saw on my travels when I was in America, but my own love for what I wanted to do for food when I came back as well. So I combined it all. And like, even when I came back from America, went to work for Jacob Fruitfield, decided I want to have my own business. I mean, that's a journey in itself, making the decision, you know, giving up your full-time job, giving up that security and going into the unknown. And that's probably the scariest part of starting to set up your own business. I mean, it was tough, but it was exciting. I mean, when you're young like that, you know, nothing will stand in your way. You'll do it no matter what, you know.
Bring me right back to finding the first place, opening the door. Like, how did you decide where you're going to put it? Because these are the bits I love unpicking, because it's just people listening who are like, you know, the Lorraines out there who are like, oh, I really want to do that. But, you know, there's a million reasons not to do things. And there's one reason why you should. That's because you want to, right? Mm. So bring me back to your like initial process of like, I'm going to open here. It's going to be like this, this, and this.
So for me, it was definitely developing a brand was the biggest thing at the beginning.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, so I want to have like a cafe food business. And what does it stand for? You know, what do I want it to look like? And, you know, so I think because of my background, I created this brand I partnered with my cousin who, not a business partner, but he was a brand designer, and he helped me. He was like, okay, what do you want? What are you going to do? You know, what does it stand for? How many days are you going to open? What are your menus going to look like?
Right.
So you think about all those things. And from that came Gourmet Food Parlour and the logo and what it was going to stand for. And that's how it kind of started. Getting a geographical location was definitely the most challenging thing of all time, because the world, like Ireland was thriving. Again, the Celtic Tiger was in full force. There was very little units to rent.
This was 2006.
2006.
Right.
Very so few units to rent. Yeah. So it was like, well, there was slim picking. So where do I, who will give me a unit really was the answer to that question, you know. And if you saw where I opened a 25-seater cafe off a side street in Dunleary because it was the only unit that I could get where I didn't have to pay key money because I refused to pay key money because my budgets at the time, I had very, very, very small amount of money to play with to open in the first place. So I had to be very clever in how I went about it. And I rented this small Chinese kind of a food store on Cumberland Street in Dunleary. And listen, every uncle and my father and every person I knew came in as the builder and they helped me to get it open. And that was a wonderful experience in itself because there was passion, but there was a lot of support and love in Gourmet Food Parlour before it even opened in July 2006. So that was special.
Is that where you're from?
No, I'm from Galway.
Okay.
I'm a Westie, west of Ireland.
So what was the Dunleary connection? Just literally, that's where you could get it.
I was living in Dunleary at the time. Okay. I was living in Dunleary at the time and I suppose I just used to walk the streets and I went everywhere. I went all around Dublin looking for units. But this is the one, I don't know, there was something about Dunleary, the energy, the people, the atmosphere, you know, and at the time, and it's still to this day, I still have the same attributes if I'm going to open up a new unit or a new restaurant. I love to have a mix of residential and commercial. And I could see there was really good commercial business in terms of the industrial estates that were around, but there was a huge residential.
Okay.
And that, you know, that Monday to Friday corporate support, but then that weekend residential support was definitely something, when you have both, it's a huge help.
Okay, I get you. So you wanted that 7 day a week mark and you knew you needed a mixture of both.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So what were the first couple of weeks like?
I'll never forget the first day and there was a queue. So I put posters up on the window that said, you know, cafe and deli, bar opening soon. And people come in, when are you opening? We're dying for you. Have you any menus? You know, the excitement was, well, it was unbelievable. So I made the mistake of saying, we're going to open on the 28th of July, you know, and the posters are telling people. And there was literally like a queue down, there was a queue down the street.
Were you doing some sort of promo or giveaway or something?
No, we did nothing. We didn't do anything. We just told people that we were opening. And I don't even think we were really ready, to be honest with you. Now we had, I think I'd probably spent 7 days in a row, like barista training, food training, and the team had trained, but are you ever ready? You know, are you ever really ready?
But if you're ready, you've waited too long.
You know,
that's the rule, right?
100%.
If you feel fully ready, you're probably waited too long.
You waited way too long, for sure. And I remember, I think I said at 1 p.m., because that morning was a little bit chaotic, you know, and everyone was, woo! And at 1 o'clock, the queue was there and we just said, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go. And do I remember it? Yes, it was amazing. It was a great feeling. I think when you see people line up to support a business that you're after opening, I mean, there's no greater feeling in the world. And you think to yourself, you know, is the idea just in my head? Am I mad? Is this really reality? Or will people actually like it? Will they say, oh, that was lovely, you know?
And will they come back?
And I want to come back. And they do come back. And that spurs you on. That gives you the energy and the drive. And there's something very, very special about that. But the queue, I'll never forget the queue. Never. And I'll never forget my parents were there. You know, my family, friends were all there going, oh, you know, and everyone was so happy and so proud. And that, you know, that they're the memories that you remember. That was special.
That's what business should be about, though. I think we lose some of the magic. Mm. It's we talked about it downstairs, but over-engineering things, being too clinical, been too kind of like trying to be too perfect. Whereas I think that's what business is about. That 100%. Magic, that support. Yeah. Just start.
People. It's about people.
Who's there with you on the day? Who's smiling? Who's proud? Mm. Like, you're going to do this maybe, probably for the rest of your life, hopefully, if it goes well, right? Yeah. So like, there's this urgency. This is like, oh, move fast and break things. I hate that. I think that is the biggest myth that's been propagated. Mm. This tech thing of like, oh, just like hustle and build and blah, blah, blah. You do. But there's a human element that's so important that's been lost in a lot of companies.
I think the human element to this day is still the most important part of any business. And it's not just about, yes, you need to build a culture, a strong culture in your business. And we spoke about this downstairs about people, but I believe relationship building, particularly with your team, with your customers, and continuing to build and nurture your own relationships in your personal life. Mm. I think if you can maintain that throughout having your business and really put an effort into that, I think that is what will bring you on as a person, as a business person. Because if you see people around you
who are proud of what they are doing,
I honestly think that that is exactly what a business culture needs. And I want people to be proud to work for Gourmet Food Parlour, you know, to be proud to work for the brand. Yes, we're an Irish brand that's grassroots, you know, grown. That's very, very important to me. But I want people to know that there's integrity in the business. And from that very day, I still ring my parents every day and say, oh, we got this event. Oh, did you? That's amazing. Mm-hmm. My brother, my sister, my friends, my husband, everybody, they're still as so proud of what the team in Gourmet Food Parlour are doing.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that means more than anything. Means more than anything.
Are you enjoying what you do?
I do enjoy it. I love it.
That's the
thing. Not 365 days a year.
No, but 80-20. I always say, if you can enjoy it 80% of the time, you're going to have bad days. 80-20 is probably generous, maybe 60-40. But, you know, overall, in the main, are you really enjoying it?
Because,
you know, you have to.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
if you're going to do this forever, and I think a lot of people make prisons of their own manufacture. Mm. They're sitting in the jail cell with the keys in their hand, the door is open, but they can't walk through because they've just built themselves into this cage that they just, whereas when you build something you love, like you've done, like you can tell talking to you love what you do.
Yeah, I do.
Like, I have people sitting in front of me, I'm like, I can tell they're doing it just to get to the end.
Yeah.
And you're like, there is no end.
Yeah.
This is the infinite game that you should be playing, because what'll happen is you'll get to the end, and I've chatted to people like this, they get to the end, they sell or whatever happens, and then they're like drumming the fingers on 100%. The table because they know nothing else and they just start again. I literally had people who sat there and said, oh yeah, it sold on the Friday, Monday morning I rang around the team and we got back together again, they started again.
And that's fascinating, and I respect that for people, though. I do respect that. I think everybody is on their own journey. You know, I always think of the analogy where we're all climbing a mountain and this is our life, you know, and it can be your career or your personal life or both. And we're going to have sunshine and we're going to be climbing great one day. And the next day we're going to have rainstorms, but we're going to keep climbing. Mm. We're going to keep climbing. And the top of that mountain is very different for all of us. Mm. It's very different. And once we realize that we're not comparing ourselves to other people, then I think your own journey becomes a much better one. Because I think to complete your own journey, you have to have that happiness within yourself. Mm. And it comes from everything in your life. Your personal life and your business life. You know, when you walk into the office every day, how do you represent yourself? How do you bring yourself to work every day? And if something is going on outside, you know, which it can be, everybody's going through something a lot of the time, but it's how we try and put those coping mechanisms and support mechanisms in for ourselves that help us, I believe, in the workplace. Mm. Because I think the workplace should be a very safe space for people and a place for people to evolve and grow and define who they want to be in their own careers. And in Gourmet Food Parlour, like, I am so incredibly proud of the team. I have people working with me, Gary, 17 years, you know, who've been on this journey with me and alongside me and leading the business themselves. I have people who are my executive chef who came in as a commis chef. I have an assistant finance manager who came in as a waitress. My finance manager came in as a deli assistant. You know, the stories go on. My operations manager came in as a supervisor in my little cafe in Dunleary, you know, 14 years ago.
I love that, because that's how companies used to be built.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of knowledge in that, because, you know, they start in the mailroom, that old joke of like, start in the mailroom, work their way up. But like, that's how you learn.
That's how you learn.
But now there's this thing of like, oh yeah, do your 2 years and move on somewhere else.
Yeah.
It kills employers, because they've invested 2 years in
100%,
you, and you've just got capable. You've just became functioning. You're no longer a cost burden. And then you're gone. But I think that's testament to you. I think that mentality, like, I like the philosophy you talk about here about like people coming up from within, because like giving people a clear progression is so important.
Oh, it's
because
very important.
Especially nowadays, you're surrounded by noise. You're surrounded by, oh, you can do this and this and this and this and this. Like, there's infinite choice nowadays, it would seem. Mm. But like, being able to have a place where people can grow and learn, I think the apprenticeship scheme should be broadened to business and broadened to so many other things, because that's how you learn, is on the job.
Oh,
it's not sitting 100%. At a desk looking at a book about here's how you run a cafe, here's how you run a restaurant.
You'll never learn that from a book anyway, that's
never,
for sure.
Right.
It's feet on the ground and getting stuck in, you know. And I think as well, university, college, study is not for everybody.
No.
You know, and I firmly believe that, like, I wanted to create a business that allowed people to go on a journey themselves and work hard. Doesn't mean you need to work 90 hours a week. That's not what work hard is. You know, you work smart when you're at work. You learn, you know, you're always learning. You're always on the move and you can grow your career within Gourmet Food Parlour. That has always been very important to me, that if people say to me, Lorraine, I want to grow. I want to do this. I'm ambitious. I'm driven. I'm nearly going, okay,
delighted.
Amazing. This is okay. Let's go. You know, we got to bring this person. We want to get that person to that space.
Yeah.
And that in hospitality as well, I want people to know that there's amazing career paths for you in hospitality, that whole myth of, you know, you have to be a slave and you have to overwork. You know, there are times when, yes, you got to work harder than others. That's every industry. That's every job. But in hospitality, there's hospitality is changing. You know, it's no longer, yes, it's about serving really good food, but there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. I mean, years ago, I set up what I call the pillars within the business. And these pillars, I set them up about maybe 15 years ago, and they enabled me to grow the brand and to grow the business and to create these careers for people, in that I have different departments. So I have an operations department. I have marketing and PR. I have a finance department. We've got HR. So we've got all these people of catering and events. I've got new business development. So we've people working in all these different departments, and their job is to work collectively together, but to run their own departments and to make it the best that it can be. So that in the background, we're constantly researching on how we can be better. How can we train our staff better? How can we provide a better service for our customers? You know, the list goes on. How can we analyze what our customer reviews look like last week? And then you're investing in hardware, and you're investing in packages for people to work with. So it's all very technical now. Mm. So all the different systems that we have within the business help us to really learn what the customer is looking for, but what our own customers are saying to us as well. And that is pivotal. And we analyze that every week. As a team, we have a very strong structure, not just in terms of the organizational structure, but in the structure that they work towards every week. And that doesn't mean that it's boring and they can't go outside the lines. Yes, they can. Absolutely. But that data is pivotal for us to be able to continue to move forward. Because I said this to you downstairs, somebody will always want it more than you. So you just got to define how much you want it yourself. And then you got to enable that team around you to ensure that they work, you know, as hard as they can to get to that next stage. And again, go back to that mountain analogy. We're always climbing, you know, we're always climbing. Things get in our way, but we keep going and we keep driving and believing in what we're doing and try to be better all the time. You have to be better. And that doesn't mean, again, I always go back to, you don't need to work harder, but if you want to be better, you want to be better for your customer, for your team and for your colleagues around you. And that's important.
How do I unpick this? Where do I start, Lauren? Normally, I've got a very clear flow that I bring you through. Right. Okay. Well, we'll go back to 2006.
Okay.
How have we got here? We've started on the back street of back street of back street in Glenleary, right?
Literally.
In a queue, but still a back street of back street. What was the first couple of years, I guess? Because obviously you have to graft, but like, 2006, we all know what happened in 2008. So kind of fill in the gaps for those couple of years for me.
Mm. So when I saw there was a demand for the brand, before I even opened the door, I knew I wanted to have, I said 10 back in 2006. I want to have 10 locations. Why 10? I don't know. There's no intelligent business definition for that.
Sounds like a good number,
I think. I wanted to have 10.
Yeah.
And I wanted to build a brand, and I wanted to build an Irish brand. I'm a very proud Irish woman. And when I lived in America, I think it made me more patriotic towards Ireland, towards the people. I really appreciated the people, the focus that we have as people, and just our whole ethic and the crack, the fun that we have. I just love all that. But going back to it, I wanted to grow a brand. And I wanted the brand to be super successful, obviously, but I didn't know how that looked. And I knew I just needed to kind of have a look and see from the very start, how was that going to transpire? So when we opened it, I could see a demand for the brand. I could also see, you know, that I wasn't going to be able to do very much with a 25-seater cafe. I could do a lot within that unit, yes, and I was really proud of that. But I wanted to take it to the next stage. So what I did was, the first year was tough, very tough, because I'm a sales and a marketing person. That's who I am. That's my background. That's what I naturally gravitate towards. I don't naturally gravitate towards the financial side or, you know, the back of house side, or I wasn't a qualified chef and I didn't really understand the workings of the kitchen as much as I should have, maybe. That's been overly critical of myself because I did do a lot of research beforehand, but you have to analyze everything.
Yeah.
So what I felt really difficult was balancing it all. Balancing everything was the most challenging thing for me, because I was used to having control of things in my job. I was used to knowing what I was doing. And then you're just going into such an unknown, and it was difficult. But what I did was I just naturally just asked people who was good at things that I wasn't good at. And I just started getting advice and a sounding board, and just started surrounding myself with people who were really good at the parts that I wasn't good at, probably from the start. And then I decided that I want to open a second one. And again, because I was younger, nothing was going to stand in my way. The biggest challenge for me was to get money from the banks to enable myself to do that, because in the industry of hospitality, it's not easy to get investment. It's not easy to get a loan from a bank. It's very, very difficult. And it was difficult then. So I borrowed very little. So it made me think more about what I needed to do and how superb that unit needed to look for the money that I had. So I set up the business really at the beginning, doing what I could financially with the money that I had. And then when it started to turn a few euros, I was able to reinvest, which I continue to still do, to reinvest into the brand, to bring it to the level that I wanted to be at in my dreams, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I started to grow. Then we opened in Swords in 2008. We got a beautiful unit on North Street.
Dunleary to Swords.
Yeah. South side to north side.
And yeah. What was the logic moving?
Because I did a Google search on you know, where's the best place in Dublin, and it said Swords was the fastest growing town in Europe. I still see it, I'll never forget it.
Oh, wow.
Fastest growing town in Europe. So over I went to Swords. Right. And I walked into the estate agents on the main street, and I said, "Hi, I'm looking for a unit. I have a cafe over in Dunleary. Do you have anything?" And I'll never forget, Joe Morton was his name, and he said, "Oh, I certainly do." He brought me in the car and off we went. And we went to have a look at units all around Swords.
But that's the power of action.
Yeah.
That's the power of just getting off your arse and doing something.
Get up and go.
But you don't need to I'll need a report, I'll need research, I'll need this. You need a little bit. But then what you need is to get into the car, go and see this guy, because then you're off. The momentum is there.
And I always say I built the brand by not being on the high street. So all the units I started with were not in the main street anywhere. They were a side street off a side street.
Right.
And the reason why is because I was very put off by high street rents for the business that I had.
Right. Because this goes against conventional wisdom, right?
Yeah, I kind of went.
The thing you hear in hospitality is has to be in high footfall areas, has to be on a certain side of the street, it has to be, very visible. Mm. So you went against that.
Completely against that. And because I felt that was the right thing to do for my business at the time. And I felt like I could see in Dunleary, I could see a trend, I could see the sales, I could see the overheads, I could see everything. And I thought, these rents are just great. That's crazy. But again, this has gone into 2008. Mm. Things were still at a very high level.
Bubble.
And I'm really glad that I didn't go on the high street. I'm really glad that I went off the side street, because it made me work harder, but it made me work in a different way. It made me work in a different way, and it made me create a brand that I don't think I would have created if I did go on the high street.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I used to sit in the car outside the unit that I went for in St. Fintan's. And I took the first unit, and then 5 years later, I went into the second one, and now I have the four units. I put my start in my catering division at the back of one of those units. It's a story. We've evolved. We've expanded so many times. But I used to sit in a car outside the unit, 7 a.m. and count the amount of people walking by at different times of the day.
Okay.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and see what kind of a demand. Will I open at 7? Will I open at 8? What's lunchtime like? What's my footfall like? What kind of people are walking by? Do I have that sweet spot of residential and commercial here? And that is really how I started the whole business back in the day, by just doing that all natural, good old fashioned,
But this is, there's a real powerful lesson here in the value of limitation, people think limitation is a bad thing, but you were limited by your budget. Mm. You were limited by what that budget meant then, because where you wanted to put that budget. Mm. So you had to work differently.
Very.
I think that's really interesting, because I think too often people try to follow, we talked about this earlier, the template. You try to follow someone else who's just done it like that. Yeah. And you try to mimic people who are much bigger and have much more resources than you. And you know, you mimic the place in the main street. But if you mimic them, you're going to be exactly the same as them, except without the resources, and you won't have the runway then when something unexpected happens.
Correct.
Such as 2008.
Yeah.
So 2008 happens, you're two units more.
Two units.
Okay.
We there was a small little cafe in Ballybockel that we opened as well.
Where?
That was just Ballybockel, which is up North Street, North County Dublin.
Okay.
It's not too far from Swords. And then we opened our Malahide location in and around that time as well. So okay. And then that's when we started to dabble in catering as well. So it kind of all happened around those few years. But essentially in 2008, we too.
How did you learn to juggle these multiple locations and the multiple roles you had?
I think I just got stuck in. I don't think there was any great. I'm a grafter. I'm a worker, and I come from a family of workers. And I just worked. And what I did was, though, I didn't work in both cafes all day, every day. So that was really important, to bring in managers and to bring in like a hierarchy that was going to be able to manage the day to day, but that I could work closely alongside, so that, you know, that the standards were still very high and that the customers were being looked after, and that I could have that personal touch with the customers to continue to build the brand. And I think that kind of an ethos then, you know, encourages people around you and provides that foundation to your staff as well, to know that this is the direction that we need to go in.
How did you do that, though? Because I've talked to so many people who might have one unit and maybe they try expand, they go into something else, and they always get sucked back in. They always allow themselves to get sucked back in. Mm. How did you establish that, you know, that distance?
It takes courage and belief in yourself and your business idea to take the step to set up your own business. In the early stages, entrepreneurship can be a lonely road, even through milestone moments. Deciding to commit the idea you've been mulling over, learning, growing, and developing your skills, building a team to help you along the way, and preparing to launch into new markets. Enterprise Ireland is there for all of those startup moments. From providing advice and guidance to new founders through our startup network, to pre-seed funding and early investment, we're here help you bring your ambition to fruition. To find out how Enterprise Ireland can help you on your startup journey, visit enterprise-ireland.com. Nostra, an Irish IT company, offers world-class managed IT services, cloud solutions, IT support, and more, all tailored to meet your business needs. So whether you're streamlining operations or boosting productivity, their expert team is ready to help you. Visit nostra.ie or email info@nostra.ie to see how they can help solve your IT challenges today. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share a game changer for your business, Azure Communications. When it comes to print and marketing solutions, these folks, led by CEO Jenny Johnston, are the real deal. Whether you need an eye-catching brochure, sleek business cards, or a full-blown digital campaign, Azure Communications has you covered. They're not just about high-quality prints or digital campaigns, they're also about delivering great results. And here's the best part. Just for listeners of The Entrepreneur Experiment, you can get 20% off your first order. Just give them a call or go online and use the code VOX20. With personalized service and fast turnaround times, Azure Communications will help you make the impact your business deserves. Trust me, when it comes to making your brand stand out, Azure Communications is the provider of choice. Check them out at azurecom.ie. Use code VOX20 and elevate your marketing game today.
It took me a long time. It took me a very, very long time. And I go back to when I said, remember, I worked with a business consultant, and I knew I needed to change the direction that the business was going in. And her name is Jane Hogan. She helped me to say, Lorraine, you need to step outside. You can't be worried about the napkins and the knives and the forks, because I'd be thinking, oh, that's not the type of, no, you can't. And don't set the table like that. And, you know, initially I was very sucked into the day to day, and I can understand how any business owner would be, because ultimately everything lands on your shoulders and you're responsible for everything, but you have to empower people around you to be able to reach those standards. And that's training and hiring the right person with the right attitude. So that's a huge part of it as well. But I did work, and I knew that I, I really was very strong, Gary, about how I wanted to bring the business forward. And I knew that I wasn't going to do that by standing at the till and talking to everybody every day. Whereas I love that. And customer interaction is amazing. And still to this day, it's very important. However, you're not doing anybody any good. And you're responsible for people and their careers and their jobs and your brand and your business and your customer. So you have to move in a different direction. So you have to be very strong minded when it comes to that.
And then how did you keep growing? Because obviously 2008 was probably a bit of a rocky period. How did you keep growing into that and beyond it?
We actually grew more during that time.
Really?
Because I'll go back to not having enough money to really do what I wanted to do. Started the business off at a smaller scale, started to grow the brand, started to see the demand. And then going into 2009, 2010 and coming out of 2008, as I said, I changed the business into, I started tapas nights on a Friday night with a little bit of live music. And that's really how I started changing the direction that the business was going in. Again, small steps, small
steps. This is where you started expanding the hours and the days and things like that, sweating the asset, essentially.
Correct. Yeah, correct. And just testing what's out there. What kind of demand is there in the market for something like this? Huge demand, huge demand. And people loved it. And it was only once a month. I only started very small because I didn't have the staff or the facilities to be able to do it. So I needed to change as well the kitchens that I had. I needed to expand the setup of the kitchens and invest in new equipment. And I needed to train staff and hire staff. And there's a lot involved in all of that, a lot involved. But all the while, you know, we opened in Malahide. We started the catering division because corporates were coming into the cafes during the day saying, oh, we do business meetings and, you know, can I have a platter of sandwiches? And I said, of course you can. So I remember back in 2006.
Can have anything you want.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. I remember my cousin who did the initial design of the brand for me, and he designed all these beautiful little brochures, and we did this takeaway brochure and we did a catering brochure, and I thought, sure, we'll just do a catering brochure and we can put all the sandwiches that we have on the menu. It started with 18 sandwiches or something like that. Wow. And sandwiches were our USP, like really, really good sandwiches, salads, antipasti, that kind of thing. And I remember handing them out, and gee, there was people just saying, oh, I'll have a platter. And, you know, those old silver foil platters with the cling film over them. And that's how it all started. It started basic, it started simple, but there was heart and there was love and there was passion.
And it started.
To do the right
thing.
That's
the key thing.
And it started.
It started. Yeah, it started. I'm loving this chat because, like, things get overthought a lot. Mm. You know, oh, I just have to have this and I'll have to, like, research this and I'll have to see what the demand is.
Yeah.
Just start.
Just start. Just do it.
Bang out a few flyers.
But
that's
when you believe,
the quickest way.
And, you know, when you believe in what you're doing too, you know, I knew that the standards were good. I knew the quality was good. That was not an issue. And I mean, I definitely over leveraged myself a lot for many, many, many years, being front of house, answering the phone, you know, doing everything in the office. But that's what you do, you know, going out in my car, delivering can you deliver that for me? Cause I can't pick up today. Of course I can. Absolutely. You know, I was nearly an over pleaser, but that was good because I think it kind of set standards for myself.
You showed you what's possible.
And then, you know, you show other people that that's the level that you need to go to for the customer to make it special, to make it special for them. And I definitely remember being like just, you know, buzzing during that whole time, like just so happy, so proud of where the brand was going and the people that came on the journey, you know, with us at that time. It was incredible and still is.
Were there more any moments where you're just like, oh, this is a big change. This is the moment that might spark something big, or was it a gradual thing? Like, were there moments you look back on now and go, either that was a pivotal decision or that change in direction led to where we're going today?
Oh, there's so many moments there's so many moments that helped change the direction in which we moved forward as a business. I'll give you some examples. When I decided that we needed to move making the catering, you know, in the restaurants every day to having an actual catering business. And I rented the kitchen in Bill Cullen's old place in the Europa Academy in Swords. Okay. There was a ready-made kitchen. I mean, we were blessed to find that. And we started our catering division from there and bought a couple of vans and put them on the road. That was a big change. I mean, the catering division has now become one of the biggest parts of our business now. And we just bought a small catering company in Galway So we're moving from the east to the west, and we're really working on developing our catering presence there, which is so exciting, like so exciting.
You're coming home.
Coming home. And I have a restaurant in Salt Hill as well, which is phenomenal. One of my proudest moments. But, you know, we rented that kitchen, and I remember thinking the world is our oyster, but we've got some work to do to get there, you know. And there were people on the team at the time, and some of those people are still with me, who just moved from the restaurants into catering just naturally, and just said, yeah, we'll do this. We're there. We're going to. And they built it. They built the catering division, and they 100% set a very solid foundation for that part of it. That was a big changing moment. Pretty soon after that, I got a call to open up the restaurant in house on Leeson Street. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, Dublin City Centre, this is next level. I mean, this is huge responsibility. Wow. I remember feeling a lot of pressure.
What, someone called you to say it was coming up, or what was the story?
They were building the house on Leeson Street. Mm. So House Dublin.
Yeah, I know it.
And so the owner, Alan Clancy, rang me and said, look, I'm looking for somebody to come in and run the restaurant. So we set up the restaurant and ran it for 8 years until COVID hit. Yeah. Yeah, which is incredible.
I love House.
Oh, I love
That's my little sneaky spot when I go in for a coffee on my own.
Fab.
Or if I'm meeting someone, I'm reaching House.
Amazing. Yeah.
So lovely. The two girls that work there, Betcha and Ogie, you just go in and literally it feels like you're at home.
Yeah.
They're like, sit down. Yeah. You and I just sit over there.
Yeah.
It's plush and it's lovely. It's very few places in Dublin, outside of going to like a 5-star hotel, where you kind of feel like, oh, you can kind of just sit and have a proper chat.
You can.
Like if I was meeting you, I'd say, I'll meet you in the house, because you can have a proper chat.
You can.
Whereas a lot of places you go in, you're literally shoulder to shoulder, and inevitably, you know that person over there. So now we can't have a proper chat about it. Like, that guy's a brick.
That defeats the purpose.
So you need, if anyone's right over here, my secret plans, they're all done in the house.
They'll see you in the house.
I love that place. It's class.
It's great.
Okay, so then you got an opportunity to go, okay, hey, come in and run this. So that was the next evolution, was it? Running a kitchen for somebody else. That was new, was it?
Very new. And then you're also working with somebody else's business, which, you know, is a huge responsibility, because, you know, obviously you're representing yourself and your own business, but you want to align with their business goals as well, and vice versa. But it worked really, really well. And I have to say that was probably one of the biggest changing moments in the career of Gourmet Food Parlour to that particular point, because we started working with a very different customer base. We started working with different type, like it was just different events, people, like large crowds, like clients, corporate clients, everything. We were exposed to something at a much higher level. And I loved it. Like, absolutely loved every second of it. I remember being pregnant, going in, we were working with some really high-end clients and trying to feed 600 people. We used to do carnival-style dining. We still do, which is really exciting type. So it's like the old cigarette trays, you know, the way you're going around with, like, just smaller versions of really cool, funky food.
I like
and
that, yeah.
When you have 600 people standing in a room, it's the best way to feed people. But the pressure, you know, the pressure is real. I remember being in heels and pregnant with, I think it was my daughter or something, or my son, and it was just going, just feeling this energy and this electricity around these moments, sitting down with the team afterwards, you know, and dissecting everything, and the team saying, how do we do? Was everything okay? What do you think? How can we be better?
Amazing.
And it's those moments and those times that really build you.
I never knew this happened, as in, like, someone else you'd run a kitchen in someone else's business. Place. I never knew that was
a
thing.
And we ran the kitchen in 37 Dawson Street for about 4 years as well.
Right.
Yeah.
How does it work?
The chefs, you hire, so the front of house staff, the waitresses and waiters and managers, supervisors, you hire them, and you hire the kitchen team, and then you create the menus, and yeah, that just works as any other restaurant would, except for that you don't have any alcohol sales, so it's just tea, coffee, food. So.
And are you in charge of everything then? As in, like, is it your business, or are you paying them rent? Are they paying you rent? How does it all work?
You're paying rent, yes.
Okay.
You're paying rent.
So you rent the restaurant kitchen space off.
Exactly.
Ah,
that's
and
exactly
the takings
it.
Go to you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so interesting.
And then, yeah,
I never knew that.
It was very clever. Very, very clever.
It's genius.
Mm, it was very clever.
Because then you're not trying to run loads of stuff. You're focusing on a separate part of it.
And you're just focusing on what you're good at. Just what you're good at. So it was phenomenal.
That's cool.
Phenomenal. And we kind of crossed over with our teams as well. So both teams learned from each other, which is really good as well. You know, so my team could learn about, you know, that whole nightclub environment, cocktails, everything. And, you know, some of those some of those team members would go to some of my own restaurants and even take what they learned from there and vice versa. And then the team in house would learn from, it was brilliant. It was brilliant, I have to say. And it was a buzz. It was busy. It was a busy, busy, busy time.
Busy spot. Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. Cool place. So then you continue to grow. So now you've got like three aspects to the business, really. You've got your own branded cafes, restaurants, and then you've got the catering department, and then you've got, what would you even call that, like underneath someone else's brand? What was the name for that?
I didn't call it anything. I called it Gourmet Food Parlors because I ran them. My brand was on the menus. So even though it was in-house, it was by Gourmet Food Parlor.
Oh, I get you.
Which I thought was really important. And for me at the time when I was continuing to still build a brand, you know, I'll always be building a brand. Even if I'm doing this for 50 years, I'll always be building a brand. But I was very much, I felt still in my infancy because I was still evolving the brand to the level of where I wanted it to get to. And if you'd asked me back then, where do you want to get it to? What is that? I couldn't have answered you.
You literally read my mind. I was just going to ask you that. I was like, where is this goal? What is it? Do you know now?
I know more. I know more now than I did then. Yeah. I think it was more about, for me, evolving the brand Gourmet Food Parlor is not about having 50 restaurants. It's having the amount of restaurants that we have now and taking the right opportunities into the future, but perfecting what Gourmet Food Parlor stands for. And that's down to, again, I'm probably like a broken record, but that is down to evolving the food menus, you know, and doing what we do, but doing it really, really well. You can't do everything for everybody in the food business. But when you clearly define what you're good at and you execute that to a really good standard, that gives confidence to myself, to the team, to everybody around, people working in the restaurants. You know, we launched new menus last week. And my executive chef, Michael Mazur, who's an absolutely phenomenal person, and he's been with me 15 years. He's as passionate and dedicated now as he was when he started. I think he's just nailed it. We've nailed it. You know, I can't always say when we launch a menu that we've nailed it, but we nailed it.
When you say launch a menu, is that across all your offerings or what is that?
It's across. So it's a breakfast, brunch, lunch, new tweaked menu. So there's new items. We've got items on our menus that's been there since day one. And then, you know, you evolve things. You bring in things that are seasonal. Mm-hmm. You bring in, you know, new dishes that, you know, that are maybe on trend, and you tweak it, you know, to your own standard. We've just launched a couple of new really exciting things on the menu. So I'm delighted about that. But I also want to bring in new concepts. So, you know, for example, acai. We brought acai into Gourmet Food Parlor 2 years ago, and it's still as popular now
as
it was then.
Speaking my language, it's my one weakness.
It's fab. Like
it's so good.
My daughter loves them too. So I'm like, you need to earn your pocket money now to pay for them.
Literally, yeah, you do. They're pricey as hell. Saturday, our gym
they're
has
a treat.
One.
Oh, they're a treat.
If I do a big session on a Saturday, I go straight into the cafe in B2B Imbalance. Large acai bowl.
Amazing.
Peanut
amazing.
Butter.
And they look
flakes,
beautiful.
Granola, strawberry,
they
banana.
They look beautiful. They do.
They're gorgeous.
They are. And, you know, so like, so acai, you've got brunch. I was saying to you, brunch. I remember when we started doing brunch back in 2007, 2008 is when we brought it in. Because we were just like a breakfast, lunch, you know, menu. But the brunch, there's a difference between breakfast and brunch.
I'm a big bruncher. I'm on board.
I mean, I'm a brunch person too. I love it. I think there's something very funky, cool about it. But brunch is as big now as it was back then and getting even bigger, you know. Yeah. And then to accompany it, and this is where I suppose I see how the brand has evolved so much since 2006. You know, we've full license in most of our restaurants. So cocktails are just huge.
Really?
Like huge cocktails, spritzers, homemade lemonades, you know, non-alcoholic cocktails, all of that. There's a huge industry.
Wow.
Wine is still big, kind of reducing in demand, but the cocktail, I just can't get over it. And people love cocktails. They just love them. So that with brunch, perfect combination.
My pet peeve is when you go to a restaurant and it's like, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Or 9:59. And you're like, oh, can I get breakfast? And they're like, breakfast finishes at 10.
Oh.
That's the one way I'll never go back somewhere.
I don't
want a chicken sandwich. It's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Please.
Especially like you said, you don't eat breakfast till 11. I'd be the same. Yeah. Like, unless I have to, I wouldn't eat. I just don't. I train. I might have something like a shake or something. Then I won't eat till 11. But like, when somewhere you're like, it's 11 o'clock. They're like, lunch. I'm like, no.
That's why brunch is perfect, because it's there. It's there for you all day.
What's your go-to brunch?
Oh, I love the Louisiana chicken Benedict on brioche toast. It's phenomenal. We do like a sriracha.
Oh yeah,
bechamel. It's just unbelievable.
That's rich. Wouldn't be having that every day.
No, we'll be having that every day. But we also do a protein start, and it has like a cooked ham, feta, scrambled eggs with chive. It has like a sweet potato cake.
Ooh.
It has roasted tomatoes, and we do a granary toast. We get a lot of our breads from Bretzel Bakery.
Oh, that phenomenal sounds bakery. Amazing.
I love that breakfast. That is. It's just. It's, what is it? It's comfort on a plate. That's the word I'm looking for.
But I think this is the thing. Like, it's evolving. You talk downstairs about evolution of food, and I'm going to get you to expand on that in a couple of minutes. You want to eat well, but not feel bad.
Mm.
Like, I'm very clean on what I eat. I will eat clean 99.9% of the time. Mm. But I want to enjoy it. Mm. I don't want to be having, like, I have overnight oats every day.
Okay.
It gets bloody boring. It does. Right? Yeah. It gets bloody boring. So on the weekend, I still want to eat clean, but I want something nice. Like, that's what you described there. I want something really nice.
Yeah.
You don't look at the menu and go, they're all shite. You'll feel bad after eating them. I'll feel good. The mouth pleasure will be nice, but I won't feel good like 10 minutes later and my stomach is like, we had oats for like 6 days and now you're feeding us this fat. You know, so like, I think there's a huge evolution towards like acai's and the thing you said there, eating well, but healthily.
Our second best selling breakfast is a breakfast called the Kickstart. And it's crispy bacon, poached eggs, smashed avo, there's roasted tomatoes, and there's granary toast.
Nice.
And that's our second bestseller. But our number
Simple.
But our number one bestseller is our farmhouse plate, and that's the full Irish.
Of course it is.
Yeah. That's the full Irish.
You can.
And I mean, it's the bestseller by a country mile.
Really?
Mm, yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And we analyse our stats. Like, I'm obsessed. If my team listen to this, they'll be like, I'm obsessed with analysing the stats because it screams what's happening out there.
I'm fascinated.
I'm so interested
when you go in somewhere and you're like, look at the menu and you're like, oh, menu's changed. Yeah. Oh, no, it's gone.
I know.
The one thing you love is gone. And you're like, obviously no one else. I'm the only freak that like orders. I'm like, no.
Why did you take that off the menu?
Yeah.
I say, well, honestly, because it just wasn't selling.
Yeah.
You know, we need to try something new, you know.
So you're constantly analysing what's selling.
What's selling? What's not selling? And it speaks volumes.
The big movers now? So it's coming into summer 2025. What are the big movers? Like, what trends are you seeing exploding out? You've got acai. Mm. What else have you got coming up?
So we've got a Caesar schnitzel salad, which is a different take on a chicken and bacon Caesar.
Go on.
And it's basically, you get a chicken. So you've got your chicken fillet and you've got it nice and thin, crispy on the base. And your Caesar is served on the top. So it's like, and it's your costs and your Caesar dressing and your Parmesan and all the different attributes. And you serve it on top. And you've got a little bit of crispy, real fine bacon on top of it as well. That has become like, that's just
really
just unbelievable.
Like, there's people listen. I just realized people are really listening to this now, like at night or something. They're like, bloody starving. Stop talking about that. I actually had a chicken Caesar for breakfast this morning. I go to Honest to Goodness around the corner from the studio here, and I love Dara. Like, they were down on Exchequer Street beside our old office, and they closed down because they're building a hotel, and they were looking for a new location for ages. And then one morning they popped up over here, and I was like, you're back.
Serendipitous, as you say.
For 2 years, yeah, they were looking for a location. But I love that's, we talked about good service downstairs. I go in and like, I was looking at the breakfast menu and I was like, Dara, any chance I could get chicken Caesar for breakfast? He goes, you can have whatever you want.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm coming here forever.
Yeah.
I literally rang my wife afterwards. I was like, I love that place. Yeah. I have a nostalgia to it because all the people that worked with me, we used to go there every Tuesday. Yeah. That was our staff. We'd have our office there.
Yeah.
We'd have our staff meeting on a Tuesday. We'd have breakfast. Then we'd have an hour long meeting. So there's a real nostalgia piece. Claire and Rafa used to work with me. We always used to go there for breakfast. So there's a nostalgia piece. But it was more so than that. It was the service. It was that. You can have whatever you want.
Yeah.
And it's not about being demanding. Like, Irish people aren't demanding, but just that feeling of like, we'll take care of you.
Mm-hmm. And I love that, though. That's what it's all about.
I will drive out of my way. I'll drive 20 minutes out of my way to go somewhere like that, as opposed to breakfast closes at 10.
I know. And that's the danger. I know. Yeah. We only serve, you know, no. Let me ask the chef. But that is the danger sometimes of growing. And it was always my worry.
the system.
Because people used
computer
to say
says
to me,
no.
Lorraine, oh yeah, the computer says no, 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 can't do that. No, no. And if I see a staff member shake their head and say no, I nearly rugby tackle a chair to get over, to slide under and say, no, no, yeah. We don't say no. Yeah. You know.
Within reason. Some of people course. Are an absolute head melt and you're like, no, you just can't. No, you can't. Yeah. Just can't do it. But most people are just want to be looked after.
But for that reason that you say, you know, can I have bread? Can I have a salad this morning? Yes, you can. Uh-huh. You know, and I'll go there forever. That yeah. is customer service.
Honest to God,
that's what it is. And it is. It's our responsibility to instill that to our teams and our staff. And it's difficult. That is a big challenge.
I used to work somewhere. And that happened. They were growing and it was fine for a while. And there was one person I used to deal with and she was quite high up. But then as you went to different parts of the business, it happened a lot. It's like, oh no, you can't do that. You can't go beyond that time. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. And like, guys, like, this is weird. Like, this is you're a relatively small business. But it was all these, no, you can't. No, you can't. And I was referring people to the business and I referred them for an event one day. And I turned up. I was actually with going to the event and the guy's like, we can't get in. Mm. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, he said we only have a booking from 2:00. So we can't get in before 2:00. This was like 1:30.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. So I had to go up and go, hey, yeah. I'm Gary. You know, I'm like, do you know who I am? Hey, I'm Gary. I booked this in. This is from head office or whatever. Yeah. Mm. And I was like, you know, can the guys just go in and drop their bags? They want to just get set up. I was like, no, the booking's from 2:00 to 5:00. And then at 5:00 came knock on the door and you're like, oh my God, it's a 24-hour day building. And I left.
Yeah.
I had to stop working with them because I was like, that just doesn't, it's not who I am. It's not my brand. I can't then recommend people because people will come back to me going, Gary, that didn't work out so good.
There's a danger that could happen when you're not there. And that's the problem.
It was happening when I'm not there. And then people come back to me after the fact going, Gary, that wasn't so good.
Yeah.
With a lot of friction.
Yeah.
That's not who I am. I like things to be like, I take what I do very seriously. I don't take myself seriously. Mm. And that's how I like to treat people. I want to make people feel happy and comfortable, looked after.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to do it in a way that's limiting.
Mm. I think there's a responsibility behind all of that.
It's my brand.
Important.
It's your brand. It's my brand. You are who your word is, and you want your word to travel beyond you because you can't be in 15 different locations don't worry about it, Gary. Yeah, you can have that, whatever. It's grand. So how did you do that, actually? Because that's, I often chat about this with my wife as we're having like different, as we go different places, you're like, oh, that's kind of weird or blah, blah, blah. I love studying businesses. I love like learning how these all work. So how do you do that? How do you keep that like Lorraine-ness of, you know, of customer service? Because you've so many people, you've 300 plus now.
We do. I think it's building, again, it's gone back to building relationships and building relationships with your team. And keeping people, you know, surrounding yourself with good people is a very simple cliche, but it is honestly one of the most important ones, because when you know you've got good people, you can relax a little bit because you can see that their attitude towards their job, their approach to their job is natural. Now, when it's genuine and natural, there's very little training involved because they get it, they understand it. And people who work in hospitality do need to be a certain type of person. You know, you do need to be a certain type of person. You have to be a people's person. I mean, if you're not, forget it. And I mean, that's very simple. But there's a lot of people who go into hospitality who actually don't understand that.
A lot, yeah.
You know, there really is. But at the same time, nurturing relationships, and I think also leading by example, is extremely important. And I believe the way you treat people, you know, and the way you represent yourself, the way you carry yourself, is a very important attribute to have. And that doesn't mean that things have to be perfect all the time. It doesn't, and it isn't, because it isn't. But it means that what you want to do is you want to bring this team along on this journey. And they need to understand that the most important person is the customer. And that's the first lesson that we need to learn. And that's the first thing that everybody needs to know. But I think, look, I've built a senior team around me. And when I say I've built it, they've built it around me, really, to be honest with you. They're with me a long time. And I've also brought in a lot of new people along the way. And I think the hiring process, I hired a managing director 2.5 years ago who I met years before that, but just kind of got back in touch. And I call it the Guinness Book of World Records of interviews, in that it was, went on for 10 months. So when I offered him the job, he was like, okay, thanks. You know, I was just, it was so important to me that he was going to fit into the culture.
But interviews make no sense. You sit down in front of someone for an hour.
You obviously
show your best self. But it's, we were chatting Damon outside about, like, you know, how he looks at founders and stuff. And he's like, he works among them. He, you know, sees what happens. One of his the characteristics that he looks for is, like, how do they perform under pressure? How do they perform in times of stress? Because it's easy to go into an interview. Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, what's your greatest weakness? I'm a perfectionist. You know, all this nonsense for an hour, you know.
I work too hard.
Can't switch off. You know, there's all that sort of stuff. Whereas, like, especially for a hire like that, like, it should be a long process,
right? Oh, it should. Yeah. For both people, by the way, out of respect for both. But you know what's brilliant is to do the personality assessment. And it's it's an assessment of your personality and how your personality and the way you approach things, how that kind of signifies who you are as a person in your work every day, and how suited you are for certain roles. And I've carried that out quite a bit with senior hiring, and it's phenomenal. And then you get a full assessment back to say, well, yes, this person is really suited for this role because of all of these different reasons.
Okay.
And then you understand then what this person's, where their strengths and weaknesses lie before they even start. And, you know, everybody has strengths and weaknesses. I do too. And it's about recognizing those and helping those, you know, helping people with the weaker moments, but then encouraging and kind of harvesting the strengths as well, which is really important, because then people grow in confidence. Mm. And confidence, not cockiness, confidence is a really important thing to have.
Putting the right people in the right places.
Yeah.
Mm. So your growth then has been strong. Like, it's like you have a very extensive network now. So just give me an overview now of where Gourma Food Parlour is in 2025.
So currently we have our 6 branded restaurants, Santry, Swords, Malahai, Dunleary. We have one in Salthill in Galway and one in Dunshaughlin, County Meath. We have our catering and event division in Santry. We have about, maybe I think it's 25 vans on the road, about 60 people working in that alone. And we, within that, there's a huge area for growth. So we are sports nutritionists, sports caterers, and we work with elite sports teams on their journey to success. And we have evolved that very much so over the last 14, 15 years. By just working with, we got a phone call one day that we were asked to start looking after a county team. And that was probably a life-changing moment as well for us within the trajectory of the business, because I said, yes, absolutely, we can do that.
Okay, talk to me about this, because I'm a big sports fan. I love like kind of behind the scenes. I love the documentaries of, like, you know, what they eat, what they do, how they sleep. Talk to me about this. Like, how did this evolve?
Literally, just a friend of a friend rang me and said, would you do, you know, some catering for a team? They're traveling and they're looking for this, that and the other. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Of course we can. And we did that. And I said, what are they looking for? So I kind of started giving options and saying, you know, well, you're looking for this, but if you want, you know, to go out, you know, go outside the line a little bit, we can give these options and we can work on it a little bit. And we had started the catering kitchen in Swords that I'd spoken about earlier on. So it was all kind of fell at the same time. So we started working with these teams and then they liked what they had. And then we started getting more opportunities and we were asked to tender for the contract. And I thought, okay.
Oh, for a county team, is it?
For a county team.
Okay.
It's for Dublin GA. We've been working with them for nearly 15 years. And so we put in a tender and we got it. We were, and they said, you know, if you do get it, you have to be able to go. And I said, okay, we'll be ready to go. We'll be ready
Trust
to go.
Trust me. We're
oh,
ready.
We'll be ready to go.
Always ready.
Oh, I was never so excited. I had an office at home because I, you know, no maternity leave and I had a little small baby, and I'll never forget getting the email saying you've been awarded the contract. And I just jumped up and down. I was so excited.
Had a baby.
Yes. Yeah. Just maybe a couple of months or a few weeks beforehand something. Yeah.
Timing's mad, isn't it?
Oh, listen. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Time is crazy. But look, I just didn't have the luxury of being able to go and just, you know, take maternity leave. So I just had to juggle things and surround myself with friends and family who were there to support. And I had that. So I was very, very lucky that I was able to continue to work. But I knew that my son was in very safe hands and then I'd bring him into meetings with me. I did what I had to do.
I love that.
Yeah, I did what I had to do. But we got the contract and I mean, that was... that was a game changer for us. Pardon the pun. I mean, to start with sports catering, I mean, I'm a big sports fan anyway. I'm a huge GAA person. I love Gaelic. I love hurling. I love going to Croke Park. There's no greater day for me than going to Croke Park, to be honest with you, and watching a team play. I was at the Leinster final last Sunday. The atmosphere was electric.
It's buzz,
just
yeah.
Electric. Oh, my goodness. It was incredible. So I take that very seriously, and I took that very seriously, and I take it even more seriously now today. It's a privilege to work with sports athletes. It's an absolute privilege because the dedication and commitment that they put into their sports outside their own careers and their personal lives is sensational. And that goes from any sports team or sports athletes that we work with. But it's fascinating. It's, we need to put a lot of care and attention and dedication into how we provide a service. And, you know, Gary, it's okay to say, yes, here's food, here's a pack, or here's a hot food, or here's a meal. But what does that entail? What is that about for the athlete? So I wanted us to understand that, you know, you're breaking bread together as a team. And that is the core foundation of how you can build a culture within a team. You know, and I wanted to be able to say, yes, okay. I remember working with Jim Gavin at the time and saying, you know, he was saying, I want it to be better. You know, they don't need stuff on paper plates. Let's, you know, give them real cutlery and real plates. And I was like, can we set up a buffet service? And when they walk in, can they see that this is something special and that they know, hi, Matty, hi, you know.
Standards.
All the standards.
Standards
are there,
of excellence.
But it's consistent. And it's personal. And they're seeing all of these standards, as you say, and these personalities, but good food. The menu's there right in front of them.
Nice.
You know, there's the menu. They're going to see, what are we having today? There it is on the menu. And it's been served to them on a plate and it's brought back and we bring it all back. And I think that may sound like something very simple now, but back 14 years ago, that was a change. That was a serious change.
I don't think it's even simple now. I think it's still not done well. Like, I mean, if you look at a lot of sports, like outside the elite sports, like a lot of stuff is still, Ashford's grand.
Yeah.
It's a very harsh thing. Ashford's
grand. Not grand.
Like, elite performance doesn't come from a mentality of it's grand.
No.
Elite performance comes from the mentality of like you and Jim Gavin going, how does it get better?
Yeah.
How does it just get 1%, 1%, those marginal gains, like, and those little details matter. You said something really interesting there about breaking bread. Even that little detail of like how it's served, the way it's served, the table, what's environment? Are they just grabbing it and bringing it back to the car and eating it on the way? No, that's not what an elite athlete does.
Elite athlete considers
because it's part, I think we're much wiser now. We've much more knowledge about recovery as well.
Correct.
In terms of like what part, it's not just about training your arse off. That's only one part of the puzzle. Now it's about the recovery, the nutrition, the fuel, the sleep.
Yeah. What do I need to get into my body if I come off the pitch? What do I need to get into my body when I come out of the gym session? You know, and what we have done in our catering division is we've set up a structure within the catering and event division that has account managers. So I have specific sports account managers that manages every sports team.
Wow.
And what that means is that the account manager they'll pre-plan. So we'll get a schedule from a sports team and we pre-plan the meals for the nutritionist to approve. Okay. So they'll say, well, there's pitch or there's gym or that we're traveling to a match. And we'll say, great. So here's what we suggest for you. And then they approve it or they tweak it. And then we also have feedback. So we have groups where they will give us feedback and say, what do the players think of that? How do they feel after they do that? Did that work for them? So that, you know, you're following it through all the way. You know, you're letting the customer know, you know, Matty or Stefan or, you know, Michael's going to be serving you tonight and here's their number. And if you're worried or you need something early, contact them right down to the devil of the detail has to be covered. And that is really important. And that has evolved, you know, from just starting to do a few packs with, you know, it might have been a wrap and a banana and a bottle of water.
Just say yes.
Where we are now. Just
say yes.
Yeah, do it.
What has that evolved into? You said a sports division. What else is in there?
So there's corporate as well. We do a lot of corporate work with some phenomenal businesses, with a lot of phenomenal businesses. So we do everything from your really good sandwich platters to a buffet lunch to a sit down dinner to we can send our food truck in to barbecues, you name it. We can do anything. And I think one of the things we pride ourselves on is that we can adapt to any customer's needs. And that's why I feel, go back to those account managers. They're so important. Those account managers are there to support the customer every day. Because if you say to a customer, here's our menu, choose from there, you know, What is that? Okay, great. The first time.
Yeah.
But not the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth. No. You got, again, the food is ever changing and ever evolving. And we have to be the best that we can be. We have to keep climbing that mountain and keep reaching the top. But we'll never reach the top because we always want to be better all the time. And the customer could say, well, look, that worked really well. Or the team are looking for this. There's a celebration or there's, you know, Chinese New Year. What can you do? Here's cool. what we can do. And I give massive credit to the team for wanting to be different and wanting to be better all the time, because I don't govern that. You know, I've got a phenomenal guy who's been with me a long time, who was a restaurant manager, who went into operations and is now managing the catering and event division. And how phenomenal is that for him and his career to move in that direction and to be managing this incredible, incredible division within our business that is really, really fast growing to be really big. Like it's great. And as I said, we bought a small company down in Galway from a fantastic local Galway man. And we're so proud. We have his portfolio of clients as well as merging with our own. We're looking to source a building down there as well. And I want to be able to build a team down there that, you know, that can grow as big as Dublin, you know, and to reach new heights from there. So we're working with some great sports teams down there, some really great corporate clients, and we've got some really good partnerships. So it's very exciting.
I can feel the energy buzzing off you.
Yeah. Like it's,
so how do you balance this though, Lorraine? Like how do you balance? Cause like you're super driven. You're across so many different, even within one business across so many different divisions. Like you're here with me now on a Wednesday morning. Like, how do you balance this? Talk to me about your own personal structures, because I'm always fascinated about, yeah, business structures, but your own personal environment of excellence is something I'd want to dig into. So how do you run your own personal environment of excellence?
Well, I think what was really important to me over the years was realizing what my level, what my goals were for myself within the business. And I knew I could take Gourmet Food Parlour to a certain stage. But then I knew I needed to bring in stronger people around me to be able to help me to take it to that next level. And that's not because I wasn't capable of doing it, but it's because I wanted to be a good business person and I still wanted to be the best that I could be for my team. But I also want to be a good wife and a good mother and a good sister and a good daughter and a good friend. And I made that choice. So that choice was probably the most comfortable choice that I ever made. And then when I brought in Stephen, our managing director, the Guinness Book of World Records of interviews, he made a huge change to the business in that he manages the day to day. Everybody reports into him and he reports into me. And that enables me to sit here with you on a Wednesday morning. That enables me to engage with lots of business networking that I always dreamed of doing. And developing the brand, talking about the brand, looking at new opportunities, looking at different ways for us to evolve the brand while having a clear head, clearish head to do so.
I think that's so important. Like, and it's something I'm kind of banging the drum on all the time because I get to see people here all the time. Mm. Like founders should be building their brand because the model is changing now. The model is now podcasts and it's you as the brand.
Yeah.
People... we'll look at a list of like, we literally had it a few minutes ago. Someone was naming out a load of food companies, but they'll remember you. Mm. They mightn't remember the name of Gourmet Food Parlour, but they'll remember meeting you. Oh, I met Lorraine. Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah.
Like business, and it's your philosophy. Business is personal. And I just believe we've lost a lot of that kind of like personal touch. People are kind of hiding behind companies and things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas like, people always look for the digital hack. What social media channel? Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
You're the channel.
Yeah.
You being the personal brand of the business. I think that's so powerful. So to hear you say that, someone who's so established and so accomplished, who's now kind of setting the strategy of like, this is where I want to go. I want to be able to be up the top working on the business, and not in the business. Such a cliche. But it's so true. It's cliche. As you get older, you realize all the cliches are true.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying this different change?
Loving it. Like absolutely, absolutely loving it. And I feel very privileged to be able to do it. I feel very good about being able to do it. And I think it's good also for the team that it's not me who's leading them day to day anymore, because a lot of them worked with me every day for a long time and they need somebody new. They need a new voice. They need a new leader to work alongside with. And they need somebody who's, you know, who's going to lead them in a different direction for their own careers and their own goals. And it allows me to spend more time looking at the team as well, and looking at every restaurant manager and every head chef and every operations manager, and, you know, evolving the HR department and bringing in people who are working on an apprenticeship. Like, we've an apprentice in our marketing department, one of the most exciting departments in our business. I mean, it is the, oh, it's bananas, but it's amazing. We do everything from our own photography to a lot of our own videography. We work with some external companies for PR and for Google AdWords platforms, etc. That's just to help us, though, to guide us in the right direction and all of that. And they're a phenomenal part of that. But we do all our own. We do all our own social media, everything across the board. We do all our own menus, our own design. Everything is done in-house.
Ownership, everything. Power, ownership. I think a lot of people are outsourcing everything. Oh, I just outsource it. Hey, get AI to do it. Yeah. Outsource it. I'm like, that's not how brands are built. That's not how
people see that, though. I
100%. I think people's bullshit radar is getting so high. And my kind of philosophy on that whole AI thing is that you're about to be bombarded by meh. You're about to be bombarded by mediocre stuff. Mm. AI is unbelievable as a starting point.
Mid, as my daughter says. That's a bit mid.
Oh, is that the thing? That's a bit mid.
It's a bit mid, yeah.
Yeah, she's right.
Yeah, she is.
She's true, though. Yeah. Like a lot of stuff is average. And you don't want to be average, right? No. You don't want to just go, that's fine.
No.
You know, that's AI is an unbelievable starting point, but I think you still cannot beat. And I love the fact you've brought it in house again, because this whole thing was like, oh, outsource everything, outsource that. That only works until it doesn't, and then until that company isn't any good, or they've 20 clients because working just for you isn't enough. Like, there's a lot to be said for the ownership and the skills you build, absolutely, and the creativity and the speed. The speed of execution.
100%. And it's there. And it's also within reach. It's there. You've got control of it. But I also think that, like, it's really important for me. For example, we're working on a whole new cocktail menu, you know, iced beverages, all of that, a full new complement. So we did a tasting the other day as a senior team. And today we are making all the new items, and we're doing a whole photo shoot around it all as well. But that excites everybody. It excites me. It motivates me.
Buzz.
Motivates
momentum.
The whole
Let's go.
Team. Everyone's like, where's that photo shoot? Can I go see it?
Class.
And it's on in one of the restaurants. So all the managers see it. All the floor staff see it. Chefs are like, ooh, they see what's going on, you know. And like, also, as we get to the stage in our business as well, I'm moving forward. And I said to Stephen the other day, I said, we're doing so much every week. How are we telling people about it? How are we letting our team know what we're doing? So we've started every couple of weeks saying, here's what we achieved. Here's what we achieved as a business. Here's what we did really well. Here's where we can be a little bit better. And here's welcoming people. And, you know, that's separate to a HR newsletter that goes out to all the staff. It's more, it's bringing.
I don't want to read about manual handling. I just want to learn about some cool stuff Lorraine's doing.
You know, and like, I do so much every week, and I'm thinking, I want them to know what I'm doing, you know, and it's really important. So it's synopsizing all that and making people excited about what the brand still stands for and the business still stands for and what the team who are working together are standing for. And I think when you're a chef in a kitchen, or you're, you know, a waiter, or you're a bartender who's making cocktails, there's a lot more going on in Gourmet Food Parlor than you might realize. Yeah. And that could give you inspiration for yourself. I could give you inspiration to go to HR and say, I'd like to apply for that, or I'd like to get to there. And they got promoted. Amazing. What does that entail?
Yeah.
You know, and then we're creating more excitement. We're creating more excitement within the business. And that is pivotal. So important.
It all comes around to clear communication.
Yeah.
Clear communication, trust, honesty, openness, transparency. And then yourself personally outside the business. I said that to you earlier, you're like, outside the business? There is no outside the business. But, you know, how do you look after, like, yourself? You know, like, your body? We talk about body, business, brain here. So, like, how do you look after your body and your brain?
And it's funny, if you'd asked me this time last year, it would have been a very different answer. But today, I can tell you, last year, I think it was about September, and I kind of said to myself, I'm not happy with how I'm looking after me. I'm not happy with what I'm doing for myself. Everybody is, you know, I'm thinking, are the kids, what have they done? Have they eaten? Is everything okay? Are they happy? Have I talked to them enough? Have I rang that person? Have I texted that person enough? And, you know, blah. And I just didn't put myself first. So I decided that I wanted to look after myself. I wanted to go on a little bit of a journey. So I started just walking 5 and 6K every single day, and I'm still doing that 8-9 months later. And it's helped me in terms of my mental state, in terms of my mental health. There was nothing wrong with it, but it's a lot better now, you know. And I just had a feeling, and I've got a very good gut in my own sense, that I just needed to start moving in a different direction for me. And instead of saying, yes, I can always do that, and yes, I started to say no a little bit as well. No, I'm going to go for this walk, and then I can do that afterwards. No, I'm going to just prioritize this. And it's made the wealth of difference. I feel so much better. And I feel proud of myself, actually, that I did that. Because, you know, a lot of the time, when you're, you know, even a mom or a wife or a business owner, you feel that you have to be doing something for everybody else all the time.
Yeah.
But in fact, you're doing more for the people around you by doing something for yourself. And that has been one of the greatest things that I've done. And it's helped me to become even in a better space. So that's been wonderful.
I love that so much. Again, that's like everything you said, I just echo absolutely, because you have to, it's the oxygen mask theory. You know, it's on the plane.
Absolutely.
Oxygen mask comes down. Mm. You don't start like helping everyone else, because you're, by the time you're like, lights are gone out.
Yeah.
You have to put the oxygen mask on, look after yourself, especially when you're in such a challenging role. Mm. Owning a business is one of the most, it's like being an elite athlete. Mm. I really do think it's like you're performing all the time, 24/7. And especially as you have more demands, whether it's partners, wife, son, daughter, whatever it is, comes into your life. There is a tendency to look after everyone by yourself, because that's what you've learned as a founder, problem solver.
Yeah.
You're a natural problem solver.
I'll sort that.
And I like the way you kept it simple.
Yeah.
People overcomplicate everything. This is going to be the theme of our chat, is like, it's just simple. Mm. Just say, right, 5K a day.
Mm.
And I always, when people, it drives me mad when people, I just don't have time. Mm. I'm like, you do though.
You do.
Show me your phone.
You do.
Show me your phone. Yeah, show me your screen time. Show me your screen time.
Absolutely.
Show me how long you've been on Netflix or Instagram today. It's true though. Like that mental, I have to train. I train 6 to 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And
amazing.
Gary before, Gary after.
Yeah.
Night and day.
Yeah.
Even if I don't train for a day, I just feel listless. Yeah. I feel edgy. I just, just doesn't work. And for a long time, I wouldn't give myself that like, yes, this is a priority, because it feels like a luxury.
Yeah.
It's the furthest thing from luxury you can have.
Yeah, it does feel like a luxury. That's so true.
That's the problem.
That is so true.
That's, there's that guilt thing of like, oh, you know, exercising is luxury, going to the gym is luxury. Mm-mm. It's like eating. It's like sleeping.
Oh, absolutely.
You skip it, get away with it for a while. Yeah. But the problem is everything compounds good or bad. Tiny decisions every day are compounding good or compounding bad.
Correct.
Yeah. Won't cost you this week, next week, the month after, but 3 years down the line, 4 years down the line.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's caught.
Oh, completely. Like, And I just think it's, you know, and a lot of it comes with experience and age and time.
Definitely.
And, you know, and I feel as well, like, you know, the things that you learn around you, you know, it's just, I think that kind of impacted me to make that decision for myself. You know, you're looking at people and the world is changing. The world is absolutely changing. We don't need to be martyrs, you know.
No, really you don't. As you get older, like, I agree with you there. You, when you're at work, act with urgency and be there and be switched on.
Oh, absolutely.
But you do learn that it's a long game. You know, this, like, you don't have to do everything this week. You know, it is a long game, like burning out. You just got to stay in the game.
Yeah.
That's
I used to always say, someone would say to me, when do you want that done? I'd say yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I still say that sometimes.
Well, you do. You know, but, in work, you do need to have that urgency because if you don't, you know, things slide. Things without a deadline don't get done. That's kind of my kind of philosophy.
Without
I have, especially when you work for yourself, you know, you just have to have deadlines. Otherwise, there's a million different other things you could be doing. Is there anything else then outside of that that you do for yourself that kind of keeps you focused in?
Yeah, I mean, I work on myself all the time. I'm a very much a people's person, and I just love to be around people. And I love going out with my friends. I love being around my family. I'm very lucky to have really strong people in my life. I love listening to podcasts. I love being around people. I love networking, be it, you know, socially or for business. And I love doing things all the time, but I recognize when I need to just take a little bit of a step back from everything. And sometimes I need to not be around people as well. And I think the most empowering thing in my life is recognizing all of that. And that has been recognizing, you know, I don't need to be there for everybody all the time. And that's great. But I enjoy a lot of things. And I enjoy my business so much. Like, I love it. And I have to say, the people that are in Gourmet Food Parlour are, they're the most motivating people for me. I love being around them. We laugh in meetings. You know, we could be having a finance meeting, but we still laugh. We do still laugh, even if it hasn't been a great week. You know, we're very driven and drawn towards one another. And I feel very, very lucky that I've been able to have this team of people to work with me on this journey. Mm-hmm. And that motivates me a lot. So I kind of took all of that from my business life, and I'm very lucky in my personal life too. I love traveling. I love all sorts of things. And I think what's really important is prioritizing all of that and keeping it going, keep enjoying it.
You mentioned luck there, but to me, it sounds like you've met a lot of your own luck. Wow. You've met that environment, you've met that culture, you've met that life. So I think that's more of a testament to you than anything else. What's next for you? Because I feel excited. I feel like I've had three coffees just talking to you. What's like, okay, so it's mid-2025, like the rest of the year and beyond, what are you excited about?
Well, we partnered with Arnott's and Brown Thomas over the last 2 years. So we also have four wonderful concepts in Arnott's, which we're really, really proud of. We have an Italian restaurant. We have a brunch and lunch. We've got like a cafe patisserie. And then we've got like a kind of an American coffee house downstairs in Easons. So that's been a phenomenal experience for us over the last 2 years. Huge learnings. But we're very, very proud to have our business in Arnott's. We just recently took over two restaurants in Brown Thomas on Grafton Street. Another very proud moment, very iconic moment for our brand.
Iconic brands as well. Two brands together, that's beautiful.
Oh, incredible.
It doesn't get much better, I don't think. Thomas, Grafton Street. I'm just thinking Christmas, and there's just such history there.
Oh, history. And I mean, so proud to be in our capital city in Ireland and having, you know, been able to serve food and beautiful beverages to customers every day. It's a privilege. But at the same time, again, there's a huge responsibility that comes with that. So, you know, again, we're working on our concepts, working on bettering the team and the menus and the food always. That's always going to be an answer that I have. But I want to continue to grow. There's a lot of opportunity out there right now. There's a lot of opportunity, and I'm looking at lots of different concepts. About to sign a contract for a new branded Gourmet Food Parlour restaurant, which I'm really excited about, in the Dublin area. So we'll work on that. I really want to develop our catering and event division in Galway. That's a huge focus for me. And I want, the biggest thing for me right now is, as a team, we to work with the team and to look at where trends are going. You know, the market is moving in a different direction now. And what are the customers? What is the consumer looking for? You know, it's a very sustainable industry that it's growing in that direction, and that customers are looking for sustainable products and items, but they don't want to pay for it. So we have a responsibility to be able to slide into that as well. Yes, there's a huge demand for, we were talking about this earlier on, iced beverages. I mean, it's going to overtake hot beverages. There's no doubt about it. 2-1 in the next 12 months. And it's merging into that new category. And also, how do I develop my structure to be able to absorb all of that? You know, I'm hiring people who are going to be like a, you know, speciality drinks person, and in the operations division, so that they can focus on that every day. Because when you execute it in one restaurant, you need to execute it to a very high standard in all.
I get you.
You know, when you've got somebody managing it from that perspective, that's really, really important. We worked with a really good company over in Italy on a pizza concept, and we're bringing that into the business slowly but surely. Flatbreads, pizzas, you know, that kind of style of dining. We're changing a lot of our nighttime business, and merging into more of the sharing plates, small plates, that live music as well. That's really important. But we're in kind of the research mode on that.
Kind of more European style, kind of like Spanish style.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't have to be Spanish specifically. It can just more Mediterranean, European, that whole sharing concept.
Social,
people
yeah.
just love that. And we've kind of tested the waters a little bit with it. And then people still like to come in and have a steak and a smash burger as well. So it's like, you know, where are we at with that? So, I mean, I'm still so fascinated by how it all works. So we're kind of in that infancy. And I want to grow the catering and event division in Dublin as well. It is. I'm so proud of it. I'm so proud of everything. But I see huge growth in that as well. Huge growth in that for us. We're working with a phenomenal company owned by a great Irishman called Nutritics, and we have invested in their system, and it enables us to be able to provide the macros for all of the, you know, the meals that we're serving to our sports teams and our clients and our customers. We're working on our own branded range of meals right now as well.
Nutritics, so, you've spoken my language. I, if I'm coming up to a competition, whatever, I'll track what I'm eating to the letter. It drives me mental. You go into a restaurant, you're like, I have no idea. Yeah. This could be 300 calories, could be 3,000. I don't know.
I know.
Going to average it out on MyFitnessPal, whereas I like, oh, I love when you go to like a restaurant. I think in many of the UK have it where it's all there. You're like, bum, 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 bum.
It's love huge. It's huge. Yeah. So move in that direction.
Knowledge
on a separate
power.
Note, I love to, I've got a phenomenal maintenance department, and that might sound like they're just going around, you know, fixing pipes and stuff. But no, Yasin, who's with me an extremely long time, he works heavily on the decor of the restaurants, mm-hmm. and we're upgrading a lot of the restaurants in terms of how the bar is set up for cocktails, drinks, beverages. I'm talking about these different trends, you know, these ice beverages. And you can't expect somebody to be able to work behind a bar and not be able to execute all of these, you know, all the drinks that we're looking to do. So from cocktails to ice lemonades to ice coffees from morning till night, we need the restaurants to be able to do that. Our newer restaurants are well equipped. Some of the older ones, not so much. So we're reinvesting, looking at the decor, you know, making the restaurants more warm and welcoming for the customers when they come in as well, and for the staff to work in. So constantly reinvesting and trying to be better as well.
You can always tell when you walk in somewhere, though. You can always tell there's care.
Oh, absolutely.
You can always kind of tell if things are a little bit tired. I always kind of go, if you go into a restaurant and you go into the bathroom, it's a bit of a mess and it's a bit tired. I often go, if this is what we can see, what do you not see?
Yeah.
And I'm always going to go, I wonder what the kitchen looks like. I know. Probably not magic.
I like an open hatch. I love a hatch. Love a chef.
That's cool.
I love a chef
really cool.
on an open hatch. And I love that ding.
Yeah,
And they're finishing the plates. And I'm like, oh, that is, I love it.
I know. Because it's transparent. Because you kind of feel like, okay, there's, you know, it's transparency. Like it's not just like Absolutely. It just pops out of a hole in the wall. And you're like, oh, okay, great.
And there's love and attention.
Enterprise Ireland helps to support and fund a vibrant startup ecosystem, providing supports, insights and network connections to the most ambitious Irish startups. From expert advice to raising funding, exploring opportunities in international markets to strategic planning, Enterprise Ireland is here to support you in those important startup moments. For more information about how Enterprise Ireland can support you on your startup journey, visit enterprise-ireland.com. Enterprise Ireland, helping Irish startups go global.
Quick fire round time.
Oh.
And you're a notebook person like me. I think you've been prepping. I think you've been listening to the old pods prepping. What one book should every founder read?
Okay, this answer, I thought about this a lot. So it's What I Know for Sure by Oprah Winfrey. And it's because it changed my mindset.
Okay. Maybe this might have been recommended once. I'll check. What I Know for Sure.
Very logical and very philosophical.
Incredible businesswoman.
Incredible.
Speaking of incredible people, a phenomenal business person. I don't think she gets the recognition she deserves.
Yeah,
what have you sacrificed for your success?
Definitely time. Time. But I don't think of that as a sacrifice. I think of that as an investment.
I like it. If I give you 10 million euro today, what would you spend it on?
I would spend it on setting up a business that would support families of children with additional needs, special learning difficulties.
Okay. Very specific.
Very.
I like it. I love specific answers. Not just because they do well on social. I just like them. I'm going to give you 1 million euro. You can invest it in one person or one company. Who is it?
Ted Wright from Wright Tech.
I don't know who that is. What is
and
it?
It's
what
more
do they
the
do?
Person. He's got a fire
Ted
suppression.
Wright.
Ted Wright from Wright Tech. Got a fire suppression system business, fire sprinklers, fire. It's not the business, it's the person.
Okay.
It's the man.
Ted Wright.
He has a personality like no other. He's an incredible businessman. I met him on the Entrepreneur of the Year program in 2023. Phenomenal businessman.
Okay, well, check him out. If you were starting from zero again in 2025, what would you build?
I would go to America and set up my own brokerage business. And work with the brands that I work with, phenomenal brands, food brands in America, and represent them to the retailer.
Okay.
Or I do it here. I don't know. Either America or here. I always say if I live two lives, I'd live one in Ireland and one in America. Loved the United States.
What do you believe other people would find weird or strongly disagree with?
Probably my positivity around some solutions and some problems. And I always think that there's two or three solutions to every problem, but not everybody would agree with me.
Okay. What's been your worst investment?
Investing time in people who I just wasn't going to get the good out of, but trying to follow through and then just not getting there in the end. And it wasn't fair to them and probably wasn't fair to me or the business either.
Rarely can you change that person or rarely. Their mindset.
Yeah, rarely.
Everything can be taught except attitude. What's been your best investment?
Definitely building relationships with people in Gourmet Food Parlour has been, and they're both non-financial answers because I believe that's the kind of business person that I am. The finances are extremely important, but I wouldn't be able to even talk about finances if I didn't have strong relationships with people, connections, business connections with people within the business and external to the business as well. And they have, without a shadow of a doubt, those relationships have been priceless for me in Gourmet Food Parlour.
Okay, I have one final question, but I'm actually going to make it a two-parter because I know you do a lot of mentoring to female founders.
Yes.
My final question will be, what advice would you give to founders in general? But I want to do a sub-question. What advice do you give to your female founders that you mentor?
The greatest advice I give them is to figure out what you want in your personal life. And when you figure out what you want in your personal life for yourself, then you'll be able to figure out what you want in your business life.
Okay, I like that. So you apply that from your own learnings. I think that's really cool. And then your final word of wisdom to everybody who either wants to start a business or has a business.
So what I say, walk in the shoes of the person that you aspire to be. You know, dream big, start small, but start.
What a way to finish. If people are listening, we know where, give me a quick roundup of where the locations are. So if they're listening and they're like, I need to try some of that food she's just been talking about, give me the locations and also tell me then, if there's corporate listening, where they can reach out to you.
Sure. So we're in Swords, Santry, Malahide, Dunleary, Salthill and Galway, Dunshaughlin, County Meath. We have four beautiful locations in Arnott's and two in Brown Thomas. We have a catering and event division in Galway and Dublin, which you can access or contact through our Instagram page, through our website. You can find me on Instagram or LinkedIn, and you can find Gourmet Food Parlour everywhere. TikTok, LinkedIn, Instagram, X, you name it.
Love it. Everywhere. I always say to people, I was like, make sure you're on social. Sometimes I ask people and they're like, I don't really do social media. I'm like, oh, I've had the wrong person on.
Yes, Lorraine, we can.
That was an absolute privilege and a pleasure. Thank you so
likewise.
Much.
Thank you so much.